everyone. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and with me as always is the man, the myth, the legend, Core.
Thanks for the grand intro, Jack. How's it going, everyone? We've got an absolutely jam-packed episode for you today. We're diving into the latest in AI innovations, some juicy developments in Web 3.0, and, oh yes, the intersection of tech and politics that's been creating quite a stir lately.
That's right, Core. But before we get into that, I have to ask, did you catch the latest announcement from our friends over at OpenAI?
Oh, you bet I did, Jack. You know I never miss out on a good AI update. We have to talk about their new foray into AI-generated music. It's like Skynet, but with a soundtrack.
Ha, huh, absolutely. We'll get to that for sure. But let's not forget, we also have some captivating business moves to dissect. For instance, what's going on with all these tech layoffs, and how these companies are pivoting a bit too hard for my taste?
Oh, those layoffs are something else, aren't they? We'll need to dig into the strategies behind them, because it's not always what it seems.
And of course, no episode would be complete without touching on the latest buzz in Web 3.0. The decentralized platforms are making some game-changing moves, literally.
And just to spice things up, we're going to have a little debate on whether these new blockchain-based social networks can actually live up to the hype. Spoiler alert, I'm skeptical.
You skeptical? No way! But that's what makes our discussion so riveting, Core. So buckle up, everyone. It's going to be a wild ride through the realms of tech and beyond.
And don't forget, folks, we're live tweeting this episode, so join the conversation with hashtag AI Unchained. We want to hear your thoughts, no matter how unchained they may be.
All right, let's dive in. First up, AI-generated music. Artistic revolution or just really good elevator music? Let's find out. So, we've covered Amazon Coreto and its crypto provider. Now we're diving into this bill confusion, right?
Exactly, Jack. There's been a lot of back and forth, and I think Coinbase's sudden pullback really threw a wrench into things. I saw Brian Armstrong's statement where he basically said, "Inaction is unacceptable," echoing Cody Carbone's sentiment. This whole Clarity Act debate is hitting peak chaos.
It's wild, right? I feel like the crypto industry is always on the edge of some major upheaval. Coinbase pulling out of support less than 24 hours before a key vote? That's dramatic. Armstrong's point about stablecoin interest being crucial for competition makes sense. Banks are scared stiff that stablecoins offering interest could make traditional banking look outdated, like those rotary phones our grands used.
Oh, absolutely. And the bill had those pesky provisions that limit the ability to offer yield on stablecoin deposits. Imagine telling customers, yeah, your digital dollars can't earn interest. That's like saying butter won't melt in the fridge. It's cold and kind of pointless.
Totally. But let's not forget, lawmakers keep talking about negotiation capabilities. It seems like a merry-go-round of conversations with no end in sight. And what Armstrong did was a powerful move, a statement that says, we want regulation, but not at any cost.
Right. But you have to admire the patience of folks involved in these negotiations. Kraken's co-CEO, Arjun Sethi, pointed out that resolving this market structure was never going to be frictionless. And he's right. We're dealing with redefining a whole industry's legal framework. But resilience is key.
Speaking of resilience, how about Bitcoin breaking new highs, near $98,000? And what's even crazier is this solo mining escapade. Imagine mining solo and hitting the jackpot? Those miners are absolute legends.
Legend status, indeed. Mining solo and getting a full block reward is like winning the lottery, but with cryptographic puzzles. Bitcoin's relative strength index and MACD, pointing towards continual bullish signals, is adding fuel to this fire.
Could this be Bitcoin getting ready for another parabolic run, like gold did post-sanctions in 2022? It's interesting. Gold often takes the lead, and it seems Bitcoin could follow that same structural playbook, especially with ETF demand remaining strong.
Yeah, there's always been a comparison between gold and Bitcoin as safe havens. But analysts caution that Bitcoin's path will be more volatile given its sensitivity to macro liquidity conditions. It's like comparing a roller coaster to a gentle hill ride.
For sure. And with MetaMask expanding support for Tron alongside Bitcoin and Solana, we're seeing even more ecosystem growth. It's clear that there's a tangible shift towards multi-chain support in wallets.
Multi-chain support is a game changer for users. It's akin to having one universal remote for all your gadgets. MetaMask's roadmap is smarter than a fifth grader, making crypto accessible no matter which network people want to use.
And back to Coinbase. Their pulling out on the bill has stirred the pot quite a bit. It's hard to predict what's next, but it's clear they're not afraid to play hardball when it comes to regulation.
True. Coinbase flexed its muscles in a crucial moment. CEO Brian Armstrong's red line over the interest-bearing stablecoins and other bill provisions was significant. Walking away signaled confidence in their path and pushed the industry to reconsider settling for something.
Definitely a bold move. Let's not forget the broader implications. Analysts are already debating the market's resilience. Strategies like Michael Saylor's aggressive Bitcoin purchases reflect an institutional pivot. There's room for growth, but an acknowledgement that Bitcoin needs to mature, function reliably, and gain more governmental acceptance.
Indeed, Bitcoin might be aiming for new heights, but its path will involve unique twists and turns based on macro conditions and market dynamics. And despite ongoing debates, the overall trajectory seems bullish.
We're living in interesting times, Core. Between market-driven actions, legislative drama, and continual technological advancements, it's anyone's guess where we'll land.
Well said, Jack. Gloves are off in the crypto world, and patience alongside smart decisions will dictate the future. Also, a healthy dose of drama helps too.
Couldn't agree more. Let's keep our eyes peeled on the next developments. And who knows, maybe amidst all this chaos, clarity will finally emerge. So, Core, let's dive back into this whole TSMC and Apple situation. Looks like our favorite fruit company is no longer the king of the semiconductor hill, huh?
Yeah, isn't it wild? Apple used to be TSMC's top customer for so long, but now they're having to scramble for manufacturing space. NVIDIA's GPUs are muscling their way in thanks to this AI explosion. It's like Apple's chips are getting pushed to the back of the class.
No kidding. Who would have thought we'd see the day? And it's all coming down to the sheer size and number of these AI chips. Each GPU from NVIDIA or AMD takes up a massive chunk of the wafer space. And given the AI boom, the demand for these high-powered chips just keeps climbing.
Exactly. Smartphones are kind of old news now, right? They've hit their peak. Meanwhile, AI is on this rocket trajectory. TSMC's high-performance computing sales are shooting up like crazy, 48% last year alone. You compare that to just 11% growth from smartphone chips, and it's clear which direction they're focusing on.
Yeah, Apple's in a tricky spot. They're still producing a lot of chips, not just for iPhones, but also for Macs and other hardware, which fall under that high-performance computing category. But the scale NVIDIA operates on with these AI chips is next level. TSMC's got more reasons to cater to that segment now.
And let's not forget, it's not just NVIDIA. AMD, Google, Amazon, they're all big buyers too. Apple needs to fight to keep up. Even their stability as a long-term customer doesn't guarantee them priority anymore.
It's like we're watching a game of semiconductor musical chairs. Apple doesn't have the clout it used to, and they need to adapt fast. It's kind of ironic, considering how they practically kept TSMC afloat with their purchases back in the day.
True. And while NVIDIA's cloud runs might be the hottest show right now, there's got to be a point where the AI hype plateaus, right? Apple's diversified approach might actually play in their favor in the long run. They've got chips across dozens of fabs, more manufacturing breadth than any of the AI chip makers.
That's a good point. Apple's broad reach might mean they weather the long-term storms better. But for now, they've got a battle on their hands. The AI-driven world is casting a long shadow over their semiconductor procurement.
Absolutely. And with TSMC investing between $52 billion and $56 billion in capital expenditures, they're clearly betting on these high-performance chips. It's a huge vote of confidence in the AI sector, but also a reminder that TSMC's customer priorities are shifting fast.
Let's not forget the balancing act TSMC has to maintain, serving these big AI clients while ensuring they don't completely alienate their longtime partners like Apple. It's a high-wire act of keeping everybody happy while ramping up capacity.
Yeah, no doubt. It's fascinating to see how the semiconductor landscape is evolving. Apple can't rest on its laurels. If they don't adapt, they risk getting left behind as the AI tidal wave continues pushing forward.
Speaking of adapting, think about how this shift impacts broader tech strategies. Apple's got the hardware. They've been dabbling in AI, but let's face it, they might need to double down if they want to reclaim some of their lost glory.
You're right. We could see Apple diving deeper into AI themselves, maybe even bringing more of their chip production in-house to have better control. They already started that way with their M1 and M2 chips, right?
Yeah, exactly. They might accelerate that trend to mitigate these supply chain pressures. We've yet to see how it'll play out, but one thing's for sure, the tech and semiconductor space is going through one of its most exciting and turbulent periods.
Well, buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride watching these titans clash for TSMC's attention. Can't help but cheer a bit for Apple, though. They've been such a mainstay. It's weird seeing them having to hustle like a startup.
Ha 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 ha. They definitely won't take it lying down. But enough about Apple and TSMC for now. Up next, let's talk about how these AI advancements are bleeding into other fields. How about the latest in smart home tech trends?
Oh, you mean the ones making my living room smarter than me? Let's go.
So, Cor, let's dive into this bill on decentralized finance. Seems like the government wants a bigger slice of the pie. Brian Armstrong's tweet mentioned concerns around user financial data and privacy erosion. It's pretty wild how these DeFi prohibitions may hand over broad access to our financial info.
Absolutely. And it's not just about privacy, it's about control. DeFi was meant to decentralize financial power, give people greater control over their assets, not sit under a centralized microscope. These measures seem like a step backward. But Jack, don't you think the policy definitions are also shaky? The whole deepfake content and non-consensual intimate imagery parameters leave much room for interpretation.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When definitions are ambiguous, enforcement becomes inconsistent. It's kind of like when your GPS can't decide between two routes and you end up missing your exit. Clear terms are crucial to avoid legal gray areas that could stifle innovation or unfairly target specific actors in the space.
Speaking of ambiguity, decentralized finance protocols can't be fully decentralized from day one. These prohibitions overlook the nature of incremental decentralization. It's like saying a startup has to operate like a mature company from day one. Unrealistic.
Exactly. And the banks and industry leaders are expressing these same concerns. They're pulling their support because they see the practical obstacles. If developers can't protect user privacy or build flexible, evolving platforms, it'll harm both the consumer and the overall market.
Here's a dynamic twist, though. Imposter scams. They're ditching centralized exchanges for decentralized finance options like DEXs and DeFi bridges. Criminals are making a strategic pivot to keep their loot moving undetected. That's quite the headache for regulators.
Totally a whack-a-mole situation. If policy definitions on DeFi get stricter, scammers will just adapt and become more sophisticated in using permissionless tools. The Senate canceling the markup vote reflects the complexity and friction over these definitions and technologies. These are uncharted waters.
And let's not forget the NFT market. Despite the legislative uncertainty, NFT leaders are mostly flat. Even if the financial space is shaking, that resilient performance speaks to the strength of these communities and their underlying technologies.
Right? It's fascinating how these sectors persist. The ups and downs could almost be a reality show, like Punks -1% at 28.8 ETH, Pudgy even at 5.13 ETH, and BAYC +1% at 5.93 ETH. They remain stable, despite turbulence. It's a testament to the community trust within these ecosystems.
Sure is. But back to the legislative roadblocks, the hurdles Slaughter mentioned in launching DeFi protocols underline the need for better understanding in Congress. Regulating tech takes finesse, not heavy-handed, ambiguous laws that might stifle innovation.
And regulation should be a dialogue, not just decrees from on high. Tech leaders and policymakers need to work hand in hand. And let's be real, tech doesn't wait for regulations. If the government drags its heels, it's not just business that suffers. It's innovation, privacy, and user empowerment that takes the hit.
Spot on, Jack. It's about balancing regulation with freedom, giving space for DeFi to grow while protecting consumers. Finding that sweet spot, that's the real challenge.
Agreed. And differentiating between genuine scam prevention and overreach is crucial. While regulation is needed for safety and trust, overextensive control might strip away the essence of decentralization.
That's the dilemma, isn't it? The pursuit of balance in a space that evolves every minute. The dialogue isn't just necessary, it's urgent.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Cor. Speaking of urgency, do you think there's optimism for a rewrite of this bill to better fit the decentralized landscape?
Maybe with pressure from industry leaders and better collaboration, there's hope. But like always, The devil's in the details.
Definitely. We'll keep watching this space. Transitioning into our next topic, how about the impact this regulatory uncertainty has on new DeFi projects and investor sentiment? All right, Core, jumping back into the thick of the digital asset discussions, Coinbase causes waves again by pulling support for the Clarity Act. I mean, we had this banking committee markup scheduled, and suddenly, Armstrong posts that tweet, and boom, everything's postponed. Do you think this is a tactical move, or just Coinbase being cautious?
It's classic Coinbase playing the long game, Jack. You know they have to navigate the regulatory landscape like Mario jumping over those barrels. And let's not forget, any legislation affecting stablecoins or tokenized equities impacts their business model directly. They're probably trying to ensure they don't end up shackled by overly restrictive rules.
True, but these delays are pushing the whole conversation into next year. It's a tough balancing act for them. They need to influence the legislation without making enemies out of the Senate Banking Committee. I've seen companies get buried under bad legislation simply because they didn't play the influence game right.
That reminds me of this quote, "Manage influence like a bank account. You've got to carefully spend it on the right battles or you end up politically bankrupt."
Absolutely. And talking about influencing, Baidu's Ernie operating on these smart city command centers is another example. Their enterprise momentum is holding steady despite consumer struggles. It's like watching the train wreck of consumer tech competition, but seeing Baidu thrive in the B2B market.
Yeah, it's fascinating seeing Ernie making these massive impacts on Chinese banks and API calls. They've insulated themselves from the aggressive consumer market. Maybe this is a clue for Coinbase and other players. Diversify into solid B2B ventures, especially when consumer markets are so unpredictable.
Speaking of consumer unpredictability, did you catch the TD Securities buy rating? But they flagged near-term pressures from price compression. It's a mixed bag. Investor confidence versus the reality of compressed margins.
Oh, that's another layer of complexity. And don't forget the growing gold demand. Central banks jumping from 400 to 1,000 tons annually since 2022. It's throwing the precious metals market into a frenzy. Crazy surge in prices too, almost 65% in 2025.
It's market dynamics at play. Transition's prebiotics are similarly up against proving their copper solution. They have to go through rigorous third-party testing because credibility in the mining industry is non-negotiable.
Yep, without verified results, it's just talk. And speaking of verification, Microsoft's new requirements for digital monitoring with Varaha in India are intense. Tracking tens of thousands of smallholder farmers, that's a logistical nightmare compared to single-site projects in the US or Europe.
They have to build bespoke systems in-house for this kind of monitoring. It's not easy. But once they're up and running, it can transform the agricultural landscape. It's like working through a labyrinth but coming out with a treasure map.
Exactly. And similar to Coinbase's strategic pauses, this agricultural tech is a long-term play. You have to put in the groundwork initially, but the payoff can be substantial. And hey, if regulations catch up positively, we might see fewer disruptions like the internet shutdowns in Iran.
Oh, that shutdown is already climbing the ranks of longest disruptions in history, and it hits everyone, from government functionalities to everyday economic activities. It's more than a technical issue. It's an assault on the country's infrastructure.
And that's the critical point. Disruptions, whether in Iran or in the digital asset market, expose vulnerabilities. Companies and policymakers alike have to adapt, not just react. Each move is strategic, influencing the future trajectory of their assets and operations.
Well said, Core. Whether it's managing influence or navigating regulatory landscapes, it's always about smart, calculated moves. Let's keep pushing the envelope on these discussions. Wow, what an episode! We covered so much ground today, from the latest breakthroughs in AI to the seismic shifts in the tech industry, and we even squeezed in a debate on the political implications of emerging technologies.
Absolutely, Jack! It was a roller coaster ride. I think my favorite part was when we clashed over the ethical considerations of AI in business. Who knew we'd end up on opposite sides of the argument for once?
Haha, right? It's not a true AI Unchained episode without a good dose of friendly fire. But seriously, I think we both raised some important points. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, and it's crucial that we keep having these robust debates.
Couldn't agree more. And let's not forget our deep dive into how these technological advancements are shaping up the future workplace. Our audience should definitely pay attention to those trends because they're going to be monumental.
For sure. We hope you guys found our discussion valuable and engaging. Your feedback really means the world to us. It's why we keep digging into these topics and pushing the envelope.
Before we go, we want to extend a huge thank you to everyone who's tuned in today. Your support and enthusiasm are what keeps AI Unchained going strong.
And don't forget, if you have any topics you'd like us to cover or questions you want us to tackle, hit us up on social media or via email. We always love hearing from our listeners.
Absolutely. It's your inputs and curiosity that fuel our discussions and make them more insightful.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
See you next time, everyone. And remember, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay unchained.
Take care, folks.